Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. I moved over 80 houseplants 1,500 miles across the country from the northern woods of New York State to the jungle of South Florida. I learned so much. So many things went wrong. We overcame so many things. And I want to tell you all about it because amidst the chaos of this move, I only lost 2.5 plants. And if you want to understand what that means, you got to stay tuned. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends. My name is Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. And let me tell you, something that does not grow joy in life is moving. Moving in any capacity. But particularly the move that I just had. So I have moved with houseplants multiple times. We've done episodes on the podcast before about moving. I've moved from New York City to the suburbs of New York City. I have moved from the suburbs of New York City to the woods. I have moved from one house in the woods to another house in the woods. I think at this point I've moved already four times with houseplants, ranging from, I think the smallest amount of houseplants I moved with was about 60 and the largest was about 100. But I had only moved 2 hours apart from each other, right? I had a day move. But if you haven't heard already, if you haven't followed me on Instagram, I moved from the Catskills Woods in northern New York to Florida, to South Florida, Jupiter, Florida, to be in particular. My husband got an amazing job opportunity. I am fully digital with my business. We wanted to move closer to family. We did it. We did the thing. We moved 1,500 miles. This was the first time I have moved with houseplants for more than a day's worth of traveling. This was a 3-day move, 2 nights in a hotel, 3 days, 2 weeks of prep ahead of time, and 2 weeks of post-move, I guess, prep or adjusting post-move. And I'm not the first person to have done an epic move like this and not wanting to kill all my houseplants and maintain my houseplants in the process. So I wanted to do a full episode of the podcast and of YouTube with just the nitty gritty of what this move looked like, how we made it happen, how to move with houseplants when you have a multiple day move in your future. So today's episode, it's just you and me, your girlfriend Maria from Grow and Joy, chatting with you, letting you know about the chaos of her move and how I successfully moved. I think it was 83 houseplants in total and 2.5 died. So now I guess I'm down to 80 houseplants. I say 2.5 because one plant is just a very dramatic plant. And it was like the most dramatic wilting I've ever seen, but I was able to resuscitate it. And then we did have two plants die, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but it's okay. Because the first thing I'm going to tell you is when you're doing any move, whether you're moving down the street, whether you're moving across the country, moving is all about mindset. Apparently, multiple people have told me that moving is one of the top 5 most traumatic things that can happen in your life. You are completely uprooting yourself, for lack of a better planty pun, right? I feel like a plant that is going through transplant shock. We uprooted our life very quickly. We did not have advance notice for this move. I think we had 3 weeks total advance notice to kind of uproot our life and move to a completely different climate, not to mention zone 5B to zone 10B, but that's a story for a different podcast. But anyway, moving is all about mindset. So you need to be able to go with the flow. When you're moving, you need to know that things are not going to turn out exactly the way that you planned, that there's going to be hurdles to cross. We also moved to the Mercury retrograde. If you believe in that kind of stuff, then you know, like, literally everything with our move went wrong. Like, not one thing executed the way it was supposed to. And that's okay, right? Everything did go wrong with our move, but my husband and I really committed from the beginning of this move to be committed to being what we call joyful in the journey. So we weren't going to be rigid. We were going to be flexible. We were going to laugh at the mistakes. We were going to laugh at the crazy things that we encountered throughout our move, like our car not being available or the movers not showing up on the day that they were supposed to show up on, right? Like, literally there was something wrong every step of the way, but we were able to laugh about it. And I really did take that also to my plant collection. So I began at the beginning of this move saying, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that my plants arrive in Florida happy and healthy. And if they don't, that's okay. If for some reason all of my plants die from a mysterious illness in the car, in the move, I will understand and I will start fresh in Florida. That did not happen, but it was very important for me to set intentions at the beginning of the move saying, whatever happens, happens. I am going to put my best effort in. I'm going to set my best intention and the results will be the results. And I think because I approached my plants with that intention, I actually had a really great outcome. So as we were approaching the move, like 3 weeks out, mindset was really the biggest thing that me and my husband talked about with the move. And then it became all about the nitty gritty of, okay, I have all these houseplants. What are we going to do with them?
So the way I'm going to move through this episode is we're going to talk about what I did 2 weeks out, what I did 1 week out, what I did the day before, what the actual 3-day move looked like, and then the 10 days post move, because there are very important things that I learned along the way in every single factor. So 3 weeks out, we talked about mindset and we found a house to live in, right? 2 weeks out, I started thinking about logistics. So first, I went around my entire plant collection and I composted probably 8 plants, I want to say. I gifted a couple plants and I composted a couple plants. I had a couple plants that were kind of not doing very well. They weren't bringing me joy. You can go listen to that episode that I did on how to do a plant audit if you're curious about the process that I went through to figuring out which plants to eliminate. But I only wanted to bring plants to Florida that were meaningful to me and that were healthy and in good shape. So I went through and I culled my collection. I also went through the collection and I pruned yellow leaves. I made sure that my plants were in the best shape possible because I wanted to understand if a plant went south, like say a plant did get a bunch of yellow leaves, I wanted to know that those yellow leaves accumulated during the move and not before. So basically, I wanted my plants to look as perfect as possible before the move when we went into the move so that if any of them went downhill, it would be easier for me to identify them going downhill because I could confidently say, you know what, I know for a fact that yellow leaf was not there when we left New York. So I need to keep an eye on this. So I went through and culled the plant collection, and then we thought about how we were going to travel to Florida. So we were going from New York to Florida in the middle of August. We were moving to Florida, zone 10B, in the middle of August when it is 100% humidity, rainstorms every day, and it was like 90 degrees. So something that we realized, I started watching YouTube videos. And by the way, we have an accompaniment YouTube video for this episode. So if you want a visual of all the things I'm talking about, please go to the Growing Joy with Maria YouTube video to see what I'm talking about. And then if you want the really unfiltered, the tea of the tea, our recent Patreon that we just launched has an extra bonus episode where I go through each plant and show you the plants that died and introduce you to a bunch of the plants that I love as I'm unpacking them at the end. But we can talk about that in a little bit. So it became very clear to me and my husband that although I had watched a bunch of YouTube videos on how to move with your plants, right? Most people rented U-Hauls and put their plants in U-Hauls. I had enough plants that warranted renting a U-Haul. However, I was moving at the end of August. And what we realized was if we were to put all of my plants in a U-Haul, either like the little box that you attach to the back of your car, or if we rented a U-Haul truck for my plants, those trucks are not climate controlled. And we would be on the highway with the sun beating on us for hours upon hours at a time, and the plants would probably cook and fry in the U-Haul. So we realized that wasn't going to be an option. So we needed to come up with some sort of climate controlled option for our 3-day drive from New York to Florida. So we called Enterprise, shout out, and we were like, what's the biggest car you have? Like, what can you give us? What's the biggest car you have where all the seats fold down? We basically want a truck with a cover on it, right? And we were able to secure a minivan. So we ended up riding in a very comfortable, very spacious minivan. You'll see if you watch the YouTube video part of this, but my husband really liked the minivan. He kept being like, I think I want to get a minivan after this, which is the silliest thing I've ever heard. But we did a dry run with the minivan. It was the type of minivan where all the seats fold flat into the bottom of the van. So the back seat was basically completely flat. And we had one bucket seat up because my bird Frankie, who you might be hearing in the background chirping, he's eating his millet right now, also needed to come with us. So it was me, my husband, our bird, and 80 plus houseplants. What was I thinking? So we evaluated the vehicle, and also I had to evaluate how we were going to be transporting all of our plants. Once again, I went to YouTube, I watched all the moving videos, and a lot of people used paper boxes, like moving boxes for their houseplants. I didn't love this idea because, number one, I feel like it's wasteful. We were already using so many moving boxes for our move. I knew that we were going to be recycling and throwing out all of these boxes. So I went to Dollar General, the Dollar Tree, and Home Depot, and I price compared plastic bins, like the deep, large, sometimes they're called foot lockers, like plastic bins. And I think it was the Dollar Tree. It was some dollar store that had a sale on all sorts of mint green plastic tubs. And I ended up buying all of these plastic tubs that I packed my plants in because, number one, they're reusable. So I knew that after the plants came out in Florida, We would be able to use these plastic bins as storage containers for our garage. They would have another life and we wouldn't just be throwing them out. And number two, we were renting a car, right? So the plastic basically made those containers waterproof. So I could water all the plants if I needed to, which I didn't end up needing to do that. But more importantly, if there was a leak, if there was a spill, the rental car would not have gotten harmed. Basically, we could have bottom watered all the plants if we wanted to with these plastic waterproof tubs. So the fact that they were waterproof and the fact that they were reusable was really important to me. I think I spent about $100 on this entire set of tubs. Once again, you can watch the YouTube video if you want to see what they look like, but they're really cute, mint green, stackable. And I know that we're going to use them like for the next 50 years, right? So that was 2 weeks out. I was going to all the different stores. I was price shopping plastic bins and we rented our car. 1 week out, I did a trial run where I like laid out all the bins to kind of be like, this seems like the back footprint of a minivan, right? I was so worried that we were going to have too many bins or too many plants. I also bought a bunch of butcher paper because we ended up wrapping our large plants that don't fit in the bins with butcher paper and masking tape, the way that you see if you ever watch like any of those plant reveals on Instagram where they have this like big paper bag over the plant and they take the paper bag out and the plant spills all over it. But we got butcher paper because I have a lot of really beautiful alocasia and ficus, anthurium, plants that have really beautiful leaves that were too big for the bins. And I wanted to make sure that they were protected. So in order for them to be protected and also vertical, so like they took up less space in the car, we made these like butcher paper cones around each of the large plants. It took about 45 minutes. It was a lot. And then also I realized that I did this dry run where I laid out all of the bins. I put all my plants in the bins to see how many bins I was actually going to use. And I realized that I had a car full of bins and plants. So the week before we moved, we actually ended up shipping a normal box, like a flat rate box, to our house in Florida ahead of time with some of the stuff we thought we could take in our car. So they were like supplements and random stuff that we figured that our movers forgot. We basically shipped everything except for a suitcase, our plants, our bird, and ourselves for the move because we had not one inch to spare in the car. The night before, I packed up all the plants in the tubs and the movers had left some brown paper, like wrapping paper that I was able to scrunch up to put in between the pots to both anchor them so they wouldn't tip over and also protect the pots so they wouldn't hit up against each other and crack. And then that's also where we took 45 minutes, wrapped all of the large plants in butcher paper, and everything was kind of prepped the night before because we ended up leaving very early in the morning on Monday. So that was Sunday night. Mind you, the weekend prior, I had to go into New York City for a friend's wedding. So that was crazy to leave your house 2 days before you move for an overnight. But we went to our friend's wedding on a Saturday night in New York City, slept in New York City, had brunch with them, and then went home, packed up all the plants, packed up our one suitcase, wrapped all the plants in butcher paper, and spent our last night in our Catskills home to wake up the next morning and pack the car. We had Frankie in his travel cage in the bucket seat, and then we packed this car to the gills with plants, plant friends. Two of the tubs were tall enough that we could actually put the corresponding top onto the tub. So we were able to stack two tubs of plants, which was our saving grace because we did not have enough space in the car. Shout out to my husband, Billy, who did not murder me the first day of our trip. We had too many plants. It was a total nightmare. There were some harsh words, not harsh words exchanged, but there were some stressed words exchanged when we realized, oh my God, we have too many plants for the car. What are we going to do? But through some massive human kind of Tetris, we were able to stack some of the tubs, stack the suitcase. We filled the bucket seat around the bucket seat with Frankie with plants. So Frankie was surrounded by plants the entire 3-day drive. You can hear him chirping now.
It is a really stressful time in life, plant friends. And I gotta tell you, I'm constantly surprised and delighted to report that one of the best things I've done for my mental health in the last couple of years is hang Wind River wind chimes around my house. The chimes are so soothing. They sing in the wind. And all day, whenever I hear them, they remind me to drop in for a mindful moment. And Wind River cares about your mental health. So they are using their paid ad break on Growing Joy with Plants today to gift you a moment of calm, a sound bath of sorts, with the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime, so take a deep breath, exhale, and enjoy a moment of relaxation. Gift yourself and your loved ones with moments like this, plant friends, with moments of peace, moments of joy with the Wind River Wind Chime. Use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout to get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. So you get a free way to personalize the wind chime with a name, an anniversary date, or a special message. It's so perfect for gifting season. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of the different melodious options. The one you're listening to is the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime, and use the code Growing Joy at checkout at windriverchimes.com for that free engraving to add a special element to your gift. That's windriverchimes.com with code Growing Joy at checkout. One of my largest joys for my garden this year was making bouquets from my container garden for friends. And Lisa Ziegler, the author of the Cut Flower Handbook, and her interview on my podcast played a huge role in that. So if you are interested in growing joy and spreading the joy of cut flowers in your life, you have to listen to that episode and, more importantly, grab her book, The Cut Flower Handbook. Lisa Ziegler, the author, is a professional flower farmer and the go-to garden guru for cut flowers, and this is the bouquet building Bible. Included in the Cut Flower Handbook are 50 extensive flower profiles, planting tips, instructions, and images on how to pinch plants, how to make your cuts, how to dig a planting bed, and more. I love that there are so many visual companions to this book because I'm a visual learner. There's over 200 photos of the best cut flowers for home gardeners to grow and amazing advice on caring for your cutting garden, whether you want to do it on a small scale like me or on a super large scale. It's accessible for everyone at every level. The Cut Flower Handbook is your gorgeously illustrated, all-encompassing guide to growing your cut flowers at home. Pick it up at your favorite local bookstore, bookshop.org, Barnes & Noble, or Amazon.com. That's The Cut Flower Handbook by Lisa Ziegler, wherever books are sold. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. And one plant didn't make it. So I had to pick one plant that I was going to leave home because there was not space for it. And we ended up giving it to a neighbor. So one plant, a beautiful philodendron, is with my friends Sarah and Kelsey now. So Sarah and Kelsey, I hope you enjoy that plant. And besides that, everything was packed up and off we went. So we had a 3-day trip from the Catskills, woods of New York, to Florida.
The first day we went to Richmond, Virginia, I think it was about 8 hours, and everything was fine. The car had air conditioning. We were super comfortable. It wasn't too hot. So by the time we got to the hotel, like, we weren't worried about leaving the plants in the car. We actually got street parking that day. I can't imagine what people walking by our house, our car, thought when they like looked in and saw the plants. And it was fine. We saw my brother for dinner and then the next morning left. Now, in between, in the morning of each days, I burped the containers that had the seals shut. So like I said, we stacked a couple of tubs, and there were some tubs that had plants that were short enough to put the top of the tub. So I made sure to open the tub and kind of aerate those plants once a day, so they weren't like kind of suffocating in the tubs. The funny thing is, because of transpiration, every time I took the tops off, there was like a little bit of condensation on the top of the tub, which I thought was cool. But the plants did great. Day two was a long day of driving. And on day two, we realized that it was so hot because our minivan showed us what the temperature was outside. We were driving and we realized, oh my gosh, it's 95 degrees in the sun right now at 4 o'clock. So at about 4 o'clock on our second day of driving, we ran into this conundrum where we were like, well, we can't really stop, because if we stop, it's still going to be too hot for the plants in the car, right? Because we would be turning the AC off, and it was so hot that we wouldn't know what to do. It was too hot, and our plants would just like kind of fry in the car while it was sitting in the hotel parking lot. So we ended up driving more than we had originally planned on the second day, because we realized we just couldn't stop. We couldn't stop driving because our plants would have fried when we turned the car off. So it pushed us to get a little bit farther. And we had a great audiobook that day. So we just listened to the audiobook and drove as far as we could. And we got to like the top of Florida basically that day. And by the time we got there, it was cool enough that we were confident that we could just leave the plants in the car to be comfortable, because there was no way we were unloading all the plants into the hotel and then reloading the car every day. Like, that was just not going to happen. So we needed to figure out something else. Frankie did come in and out of the hotel every day, though. And once again, if you want to see Frankie decompressing with me in the hotel room, you can watch the YouTube video for that. The other thing about the move is the plants were the last thing to go into the car, and they were the first thing to come out of the car. So we put everything else in the car before the plants. And then when we got to Jupiter, Florida, and we got the keys to our house, they were the first thing that we unpacked. Our last day, we ended up only having 3 hours of driving. We got there, we met our realtor, we got the keys. We gave our first month's rent, and we were able to start cleaning the house. We unpacked the plants, and we have a beautiful lanai in our new house. And a lanai is like a covered porch, for those northerners who don't know what a lanai is, but it's amazing, and it's going to be super comfortable when it's not a million degrees in the Floridian summer. My first thought was to put the plants just in the lanai straight from the car, but I realized, you know, they've only known air conditioning between being in my house and then being in the car for 3 days. So we put the plants all together in a dining room while we were cleaning the rest of the house, and we had the plants adjust to this Floridian heat and humidity in a more mild way by having them in our house for the first day. So that first day, we unpacked the car. We took the butcher paper off of the big plants, and we left the small plants in the tubs because they were all doing fine. We took the tops off, but we let everybody chill out in the dining room, and everybody looked great. The next day, the movers were coming to give us our stuff, and we had a lot of stuff because we had a bunch of stuff in storage, yada, yada. You don't need to know why, but we had so many things and lifetimes of stuff we had to sort through. So we ended up moving all of the plants into the lanai on the second day. It was totally successful. The lanai is balmy. It's like 90% humidity. It was probably 80 degrees, but it is in shade. So I noticed that there were sun patches in the lanai based off of the sun's movement throughout the day. So I made sure that we did not put plants in direct sun. They were only in shade in the lanai, because shade in the lanai is still going to be pretty significant sunlight for houseplants that aren't used to getting that much light, right? Because they're kind of technically outdoors. And they did great. So the plants were out of the butcher paper. We left most of the plants in the tubs. We took a few plants out. And then, plant friends, life got away from me. Then the movers came. The movers ended up having to leave mid-move because there was a torrential downpour with lightning. So they couldn't keep unloading our car. So they gave us half of our stuff on one day. They had to come back the next day to give us the rest of our stuff. We shipped our cars. Our cars arrived a day late. Like, it was pure chaos. The first 4 days of my move was pure chaos. Everything went wrong. Everything was reconciled, right? Like, everything ended up being fine, but it was horrible. It was a really stressful couple of days. And my plants were not my priority. My bed was my priority, right? Getting our stuff was my priority. Unpacking the 300 boxes that were delivered to our house was my priority. So the plants ended up staying in the lanai. What I did do in this first week, where I'm not going to lie to you, plant friends, I left the plants in the lanai for 10 days and I left some plants in those tubs for 10 days. And let me tell you, those plants are so happy. I genuinely, like, on the 9th and 10th day, was like, I think I killed all my houseplants. I just worked so hard to move all my houseplants from New York to Florida and I left them in the lanai and I'm sure they're all dead. And what are you doing, Maria? Like, I got had all this negative self-talk. And I went out there this morning on day 10 and they're freaking thriving. They've never been better. They're feeling amazing. They're putting off new growth. They're thrilled. They're thrilled to be in Florida, closer to their home, closer to their hometowns of, you know, the tropic. So that ended up being fine. But throughout the week, although I did not unpack all the plants, I have been very sensitive and looking at the lighting in our house. So I've been watching the indoor and the outdoor lighting, and where there is direct sun from windows and where there's indirect sun from windows, we have southern and northern facing windows in our house. I'm also looking at where I want to put my outdoor planters, and I'm seeing what's in direct sun and what's in shade, because in Florida, shade is where you actually want to grow a lot of your edibles because the sun is too strong. So I've been just paying a lot of attention to the light. I've also been watching the lanai every day and seeing where what this like sunspot that kind of moves across the lanai throughout the day as the sun moves across the sky. So the cat's out of the bag. I moved from New York to Florida. And what I am so excited about with my new Floridian garden is to set up my Crescent Garden True Drop self-watering planters as soon as possible. I know I have to focus on like getting a bed right now, but all I can think about is getting these True Drop self-watering planters set up to thrive in the Floridian heat. They are the answer to growing happy, healthy veggies and flowers in a low maintenance way, no matter how hot it gets in Florida. But forget about Florida. I was blown away by the quality of these planters when I used them on my balcony this past summer in the Catskills in New York, right? They're incredible. They're super stylish. And the True Drop self-watering feature allowed me to travel for weeks on end without worrying about my tomatoes and tender herbs. And the planter designs are so gorgeous. They're so aesthetically pleasing. So many self-watering planter designs are not. And the Crescent Gardens True Drops are so pretty. I'm actually putting my planters in my front yard in Florida as a point of conversation to hopefully make friends with my neighbors. I'm thinking about doing a cutting garden in one of them and like making bouquets for my local neighbors. But these planters would also be incredible for fall container plantings if you're in the Northeast, or they would be amazing for your house plants. They're self-watering, so you can use that self-watering feature for your moisture-loving plants like ferns or prayer plants. Whatever your garden aesthetic, however you're growing them, Crescent Garden has the easy-to-use and stylish planter options for you in a wide variety of shapes, sizes, and price points. And they're all made from 100% recyclable materials with a 10-year limited warranty. And as a Growing Joy listener, you're going to get 15% off for a limited time. Visit growingjoywithmaria.com/crescentgarden. That's crescent like the crescent moon or crescent rolls. So growingjoywithmaria.com/crescentgarden and use code GROWJOY15 at checkout. Act fast. The offer ends soon. That's code GROWJOY1515 at checkout at growingjoywithmaria.com/crescentgarden. So I've just kind of had my super sleuth hat on and I've been adjusting to the new light situation in my house. And honestly, even though I moved to the Sunshine State, in Florida, their windows have treatments on them because the sun is so strong. So my house is actually pretty dark. I have like an internal living room that doesn't technically have any windows. So I'm realizing that I have a pretty dark home and I'm going to have to use my grow lights. I didn't think I was going to need grow lights in Florida, but I'm going to have to dust off those Soltec grow lights because I have a dark living room. I have a dark bedroom because the bedroom window is the lanai, but the lanai is covered. So everybody's indoor lighting situation is a unique snowflake, and it really does take a week or two, if not a full year of observing the four seasons, to really understand what your lighting situation is. So I'm happy actually that I've been able to kind of just observe all the lighting opportunities. I am also very excited because we have a bathroom with a gorgeous bathtub that has a window above it. And I have always wanted a bathroom with a window above it so that I could have plants in the bathroom and make like an amazing jungle bathroom. So I've been observing that window. I think I'm going to put a bunch of ferns and calatheas in that window. I'm very excited to make a little jungle respite bathtub experience. I also need to get a new battery for my light meter. I have a PAR meter, a very fancy light meter that is currently dead, naturally, because everything is either dead or lost or in a box that I can't find with this move. But I have to go out and buy another battery for my light meter so I can go around and get like more nerdy measurements. But I'm also trusting that that's going to happen. I'm also noticing that there's a severe humidity difference between indoors and outdoors because of the air conditioning, right? In Florida, everything has central air conditioning. We didn't have central air conditioning in my house in New York. So although it's 90% humidity outdoors, it's not 90% humidity indoors. It is significantly more humid indoors than it was in my house in New York. But also all my hygrometers, my hygrometers are dead. So I need to go buy some new batteries for them too. So I can start kind of assessing what the humidity situation in my new house is as well. So that's where we are now. I'm recording this episode day 10 of our move. Everybody's happy. We lost two plants. I had a very small pot of juvenile Hoya that seemed to have died of overwatering. I think that another plant's foliage was put on top of the Hoya plant and the foliage kept the soil too moist. And so the plants died. So I had a little Hoya that died that I was kind of bummed about. And then I had a philodendron that I had taken from my mom's house that I really liked. It was a beautiful, super long vining philodendron. It was vining all over my bookshelf. And for some reason, it did not make it. All the leaves turned yellow. I think it was another overwatering situation because the leaves were so long. I ended up like coiling the leaves and sitting the leaves on top of the pot. And I think the leaves kind of acted like this mulch and kept the soil too moist. Because I forgot to mention before I moved, 2 days before the move, I gave every plant a really deep water because I didn't want to water the plants while I was moving. And I didn't want them to be sopping wet. Like I watered them 2 days ahead of time intentionally so that they could be super saturated, but not too wet in the car. And I think those two plants, because the soil was covered, just got overwatered and died. But when I think about bringing 80 plants, only two dying, like I'll take it. I will take those odds, plant friends. I feel great about that. Like I said, the half plant is just a plant that is a very sensitive plant. If you don't water it, it droops immediately. I can't remember the name of the plant, but if you watch the YouTube video or look on my Instagram, you'll see it. It's like so dramatically droopy. And I know that when I water it, it's going to perk back up. But I say 2.5 because it basically looks dead right now. But I'm smarter. I'm a smarter plant parent. I know it's not dead. It's just being dramatic for me so it can get a little bit of TLC. And along those lines, plant friends, this has been a very stressful move for me. It's been a very stressful period of life. It's been a quick life transition. I've had to uproot my life. We had to leave all of our friends, move to Florida. We don't know anyone in Jupiter besides my family. I've had to set up my studio here. I had to batch all this content so we could keep releasing weekly podcasts for you like while I was moving. It's been crazy. And I've been really stressed. And I was talking with a friend the other day and it came to the realization that, you know, my plants are going through this transplant shock. My plants are going through this move shock, but I am too. I really feel like I am a plant going through transplant shock right now. And if you don't know what transplant shock is, sometimes when a plant gets a little too comfortable in the pot that it's in, when you put it in a larger pot or when you put it in too much soil or you give it too much water, you do something to kind of shock it in its new home, it's going to wilt and be really sad. And you can nurse it out of transplant shock, but it needs some TLC. And I think I've realized that me in my human experience is a plant in transplant shock right now. And I'm trying to remind myself to be gentle with myself, to understand that, you know, even though I'm in a larger pot filled with lots of soil and new friends, right? Maybe I've been planted in a larger pot with more plants in it. It's going to take me a minute to adjust, just like it's going to take my plants a minute to adjust. And it's okay if I'm tired and I have some floppy leaves and I'm a little wilted, but it's also really important to be taking care of myself right now. And so for anyone else who's gone through a move, or if you're going through a huge transition and you're going through transplant shock, I think sometimes we're very used to just like putting our needs aside and being like, I'll take care of myself later. I've got to do this, 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 and this. And that's definitely what I was like in the last week. And I'm realizing, no, I need to keep my workouts. I need to eat well. I need to meditate in the morning. I need to be getting good sleep. I need to be decompressing at night. Like I can't just be running because I'm running myself ragged. So anyway, that's just a vulnerable personal share about how watching the transition my plants are going through is always a mirror for your human experience. And if you're going through a season of transition, a season of transplanting, literally or figuratively, I hope this episode helps you if you're going through a big move. And I hope you have a very successful move and that your plants thrive in your new home. And more importantly, that you thrive alongside them. And I am here for you always to help you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.
Plant care.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, Plant Friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.